Grace, peace, and comfort to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once a year, Christmas comes. Once a year, Easter comes. Once a year, you have a baptism remembrance. Once a year, you have a birthday. And once a year, whether they need it or not, the vicar gets a day off. Well, today is one of those once-a-year happenings. It's Trinity Sunday. It is recognized as the first Sunday after Pentecost, and of course, Pentecost was the day when the Holy Spirit was given and the church was born. Unlike other events, though, in the church, things like the birth of Jesus, Christmas, the resurrection of Jesus, Easter, any other kind of celebration we have during the year, and most of the year is filled with us teaching about what Jesus did, listen to how he worked and went about his life, this day is different because this day is dedicated strictly to doctrine. And we mark it by reciting that very long creed that you found in your bulletin. And that creed can seem redundant, but it is really the very foundation of what we believe, teach, and confess about who God is. The Athanasian Creed, and that's the one we're talking about, was thought to have been written around 400 to 500 AD, and it was not written by Athanasius, as many people think, because he was probably dead before it was written, but his name comes with it because it's the doctrines that he taught, and they reflect it in that creed. Now, the purpose of this creed, or any creed for that matter, is to express what the church believes and teaches. In the case of the Athanasian Creed, it is written to define the Holy Trinity, and especially who Jesus Christ is. That is exactly what it does. And because the creed confesses the God who has revealed himself to us, it leads us naturally to today's gospel lesson, which teaches us just who this God is and how he has made himself known to us. Listen again to the Matthew passages that I read. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you to the end of the age. Did you catch that? Did you? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one God. And that brings us back to the Athanasian Creed and to who the person of Christ is. Throughout the history of the church, the question of just who is Jesus Christ has always been a problem. Was he just a good man that taught great things, as some believe? Was he some kind of a magician who was able to heal people and raise them from the dead, as some think? Is he God in some sort of separate and distinct way, like a Superman maybe, like a Clark Kent and then Superman? In what way can he be both man and God at the same time? Now, our gospel in Matthew will help us answer these questions. Four times, Jesus uses the word all in these scriptures. And by unpacking them, he shows us who he is and why the God we worship is really three in one. Verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me.'" Now, this is the voice of absolute authority. It's not, Jesus not speak here like some teacher among many, or nor as a prophet borrowing from somebody else's words of power. He speaks as the Lord to whom all things belong. All authority in heaven and earth means, simply, that there is no corner of this whole world or creation that is outside his power or rule. No power above him, and no rival beside him. That is why his word creates faith. His command sends the church. His baptism gives his saving name. And his promise gives comfort to those who are troubled sinners. Holy Scripture makes this plain. In John we read, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Colossians we read, in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. He is the radiance of the glory of God, we read in Hebrews. And finally in Philippians, and at his name every knee should bow. So the Nicene Creed confesses him as God and man, perfect God and perfect man, yet one person. Therefore, when Jesus speaks, God speaks. When Jesus commands, heaven and earth obey. And when Jesus promises, his church and you may rest with certainty that her Lord reigns over all things and for our good. In verse 19 we read, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now what does making disciples have to do with Jesus being God? Everything, of course. No mere man can command the nations. All of the nations can claim authority over all peoples or make sinners into the children of God. Only the Lord can do that. And Jesus does not merely tell his church followers together for an idea or to admire a certain teacher. He commands the church to make disciples for himself. Now, a disciple is not simply a student collecting information. A disciple is one who is brought to Jesus, is baptized in his name, taught his word, and called to live by faith in him. This is why Jesus immediately joins making disciples to baptism and teaching. As he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. A disciple, then, is one who is made by Christ through the means that he has appointed, his word and sacraments. As our Lord says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. So when Jesus says, make disciples of all nations, he speaks with divine authority. He alone can claim all nations as his own. He alone can create disciples by giving forgiveness, faith, and new life in his name. In verse 20 we read, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And just what has Jesus taught during his ministry here on earth that we're commanded to learn? He taught us repentance and faith. He has taught us that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He taught us that he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He taught us that the whole law is summed up in love for God and love for our fellow man, our neighbor. He taught us to pray by saying, Our Father. To seek first the kingdom of God, he taught us, and to trust the Father for every need. He taught us that he came to give his life for the ransom of many. And after his resurrection, he shows that everything written about him in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms is fulfilled in him, in his suffering, in his death, in his resurrection, for the forgiveness of sins. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name. So all that I have commanded you is not just a list of moral rules. It's the whole counsel of God through Christ. His law reveals our sin. His gospel, we see, reveals our Savior. And the new life that flows from faith in him through his Spirit. In verse 20, we get the final all in the form of always. I am always with you to the end of the age. Here all things come together. Jesus has shown us his authority over all things. he now gives the promise that holds us all together. He himself will be with you and his church always. This is the comfort and the gold of the text. The one who has all authority over everything is not far away. The one who sends the church to all nations does not send her alone. The one who commands all that he has taught also remains present to forgive, strengthen, and preserve his people. And this is why Trinity Sunday matters. And this is why the Athanasian Creed matters. They are not exercises in abstract theology or something we teach our pastors only. They are the clear confession of the true God who saves us. The Father sends a Son, the Son redeems, and the Holy Spirit brings us to Christ and keeps us there through the gospel. And this Lord Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is Emmanuel, or God with us. He does not leave his church as orphans, but remains here with her to the very end of the age. Now, this is not just a mere vague feeling that Jesus is somehow always nearby. No, he is with his church. This church right here at Concordia, where he has promised to be. You can always find him here. He is in the preached word. He is in holy baptism. He is in holy absolution. He is in the Holy Supper that you soon partake of, giving the forgiveness of sins that he won by the cross and his resurrection. So now, the ultimate goal of my sermon here today is not simply to explain the doctrine of the Trinity, as important as that may be. The goal is that sinners like me, would know and trust that the true God, as he has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, we would trust the true God as he had revealed himself in Jesus Christ. And that believers would find certainty and comfort and salvation in the Lord who reigns over all things and yet even now says, I am with you always. Amen.